You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of April. Kyle Korver with a passionate, deep, thoughtful piece. We'll talk about that, plus the video on Players Tribune. Jazz drop a bad one in L.A., and Denver makes the West get wacky. How do we all react? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers, and hopefully helping you out as a fan. Fun to see a lot of people in L.A. yesterday who were all nice enough to say hi to me. Thank you very much for that. Great to always see everybody on the road as well as at home. Today's podcast is available on Himalaya, the new app. If you haven't checked out Himalaya yet, please do. I think you'll like it. Gives you a bunch of different features. Sometimes it's the YouTube influencers, other playlists, things like that. Helps you find the best podcasts that are out there. Gives you good recommendations. Though they should only recommend Locked On podcasts, but we'll let them get by with that. So check it out, the Himalaya app, and follow Locked On Jazz there. It's also available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as your Apple Podcasts. And when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, as well as Iron Gate Global Advisors. If you have not read it yet, we'll get to the game here in a second. If you've not read it yet, Kyle Korver, an incredibly mature, thoughtful, deep piece in the Players Tribune about how he reacted to when Thabo went through in Atlanta, how he reacted in to the Russell, I don't want to call it that anymore, to the racist incident at Vivint Smart Home Arena. I actually think that's a subtle difference, that it shouldn't be the Russell Westbrook incident. That's actually kind of what Kyle's saying. So it's the racist fan incident at Vivint Smart Home Arena, and how from his perspective, as a privileged white American, how he views these through different lenses, and how he has some embarrassing moments he's experienced. He does a very, very deep, thoughtful part about responsibility versus blame. It's well done. It's not a skim. It's a sit down and read. And then the conversation between Epe, George Niang, and Kyle and Thabo, they do very well. This was really well done by Kyle. It's mature. It's thoughtful. It's thought-provoking. It's heartfelt. I thought the paragraph that might be most important to highlight to you was the following. When he talks about he writes about the locker room. He shares some stuff that went inside the team that I don't think has been shared as of this time. He wrote, "The incident struck a nerve with our team. In a closed-door meeting with the president of the Jazz the next day, my teammates shared stories of similar experiences they'd had, of feeling degraded in ways that went beyond acceptable heckling. One teammate talked about how his mom had called him right after the game, concerned for his safety in Salt Lake. One teammate said that night, the night felt like being in a zoo. One of the guys in the meeting was Thabo. He was my teammate in Utah. I looked over to him and remembered his night in New York. Everyone was upset. I was upset and embarrassed too, but there was another emotion in the room that day, one that was harder to put a finger on. It was almost like disappointment mixed with exhaustion. Guys were just sick and tired of it all." I think this was interesting. In the video piece, they talk, Epe, George, and Thabo talked about lack of respect, degrading, safety as emotions and feelings that they had that evening. So I thought there was something really valuable to go back. I think there's something valuable to always going back to this. The worst thing we can do is have this. We don't get any better if we have that incident take place and then we just flush it to the side and never talk about it again. And Kyle did a really nice job with this, but I thought for the first time, other than the original comments from Donovan, Tabo's, I thought very poignant. I'm 100% with Russell Westbrook. You know, these players all communicate with each other. I thought was telling. And I thought it was really, I think it's neat. It's hard to say. This is a weird comment. I thought it was neat because their point, at one of Epe's big points is this feeling in the video of we pay our money, just go play and be quiet. And we're so beyond that. And Kyle's authenticity in this of kind of revealing his own flaws of what he views as his own flaws of his own thinking. It's pretty terrific. It kind of stems to just the authenticity of this team and everything about them and how thoughtful our players are. And frankly, most of the players in this league, I sometimes get nervous when I hold these conversations and make the comment about our team. There's an implication when you say that our team is special. We like our team more. They're our team. But frankly, what Tabo said in one of those videos is what their reaction was, oh, if I wasn't wearing the Jazz uniform, that's me. I'm getting that. Right? That was very much the player reaction. If I'm not one of them, then I'm going to get that reaction. But I actually think most of the players in the league, we have a unique group. There's a bond and a worldliness to them and life experiences. And yet every group is unique. And every group has some really awesome aspects to it. And most of the guys in this league are thoughtful and take the time to put into it. And Kyle did a really great job with it. So anyway, I wanted to just open it. Take some time today. Don't skim it. Don't read it with three other things going on. Read it, clear some time, think about it, maybe find one of your trusted friends to read it as well, and then talk about it because it's worthy of conversation. And that's, I think, the point. So anyway, and I have to say I kind of love the Kyle's last part of it where he basically just says, this is who I am. And if you wear my jersey or buy my jersey, make sure you understand exactly what you're representing. I've always thought both positively and negatively that that was a really important concept, that if you're going to buy a jersey of someone, you are representing, there's some aspect of them that you're now representing. And I thought that was neat that Kyle outlined that. All right, so let's get to the Jazz. Terrible loss to the Lakers. Ah! First, though, let's find out. Former Utah State star and all-around great guy, Spencer Nelson, Jazz analyst at times, played with the Jazz in training camp, is working for a company called Iron Gate Global Advisors. They've got a neat team, and let me tell you about one of them. I want to tell you about Iron Gate Global Advisors, a financial group out of Salt Lake City, small shop that understands your journey, aren't pushing products on you, and have a strategy, direction, and process. I found out about them from Spencer Nelson, former Utah State great, who, by the way, has an MBA, accounting and finance background degrees, and worked Wall Street and private equity. And he tells me about the personnel. Brian is the chief investment officer.
Brian's a long-term investor, Warren Buffett disciple with a proven track record of active management. He views investing as not trading stocks, but buying pieces of businesses that he believes in. He's focused on not getting caught up in what's hot today or tomorrow, but doing the research, looking 1, 3, 5, even 10 years out with a very patient, methodical approach.
Couple that with Brett and his longtime options background, and you have a versatile group. It's Iron Gate Global Advisors. To find out more about Iron Gate Financial, give Spencer a call, 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334, or email him at spencer@igga.com. Anytime we're talking investing, understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results. Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. There's a great lineup of trucks that you know. The Chevys, we know trucks. The Silverado, the Colorado Diesel. I've driven them both. They're both incredible. I don't know if everybody knows about how great the SUV lineup is as well. The Trailblazer is back. I think they're calling it just the Blazer. But also the Equinox, which I drove recently, was a really nice car. It was the thing that jumped out to me the most is how two things. One is how well put together it is in regards to how quiet it was when it drove, how smooth it was, pretty powerful too. And then the second one that jumped out to me was the touchscreen and all the interaction pieces. There was a level of detail there that was very well done. I thought that was kind of showed you kind of how they're working, you know, that they've tried to make it a great experience. So the SUV lineup's got the Traverse, which has got the third row seats, the Equinox, which is what I was driving. So the new 2019 Blazer is pretty solid. I was hoping to get one of those, but they only have a few in stock and they're going off the too fast, so I didn't get to drive it. So go ahead and check all those out. Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also located in Logan, and you get the Murdoch guarantee of a no-regrets experience when you're there. All right, so the Jazz just blew it last night. You know, on one level, we've sat here and we've talked about this the whole time, that if you're favored by 70, you know, win probability of 70% every night, you're eventually going to lose one. We'd won 7 straight. We'd won 12 of 13. The crazy thing about last night is it certainly felt like that's a game you should win, right? The Lakers are playing basically the South Bay Lakers, and we just didn't get it. And the Jazz had taken control of the game in the second quarter the way they should have with a 20-point defensive quarter, and then they didn't come out to play to open the third quarter. I don't want to like be too like outlandish with my statements, but they clearly did not come out to play that quarter. And in turn, when they didn't come out to play that quarter, the South Bay Lakers with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope clicked in, and you've got a bunch of guys that are free agents or trying to build who they are in the league, and that they got rolling. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a top 10 draft pick in the NBA. So then he started having one of the best nights of his career. And you suddenly punted one you should have won. Pope has gone over 30. It's not a crazy idea. He's got a 35 this year, a 34, he's got a 38. This is a guy that is an offensive player, who's not a great shooter, but he's an offensive player and he can get going, and that's exactly what he did last night. The part of it that the bummer and the surprise to me was when you run through that game last night is Rudy and Donovan check back in the ball game with 10 minutes left in a 2-point game after a really bad sequence of plays. The Jazz at Crowder drove to the basket. Jazz led 85-83. Mo Wagner had scored back-to-back buckets, and the Jazz still led it 85-83. Crowder drives to the basket. He gets He wanted a foul call. He didn't get it. He is frustrated. He punches the basketball standard two or three times out of frustration instead of kind of doing what Quinn always preaches, which is, you know, get back, play to the next play. It was somewhat symbolic, I think, of kind of where the Jazz were. And then his man, Mike Muscala, is trailing, hits a three. It's 86-85. The next possession, with the shot clock winding down, Jay kind of throws up a prayer on the left side where he's trying to get the 3-point and get the foul. And so he ends up kind of flailing to the ground to try to get that call. Well, he's on the ground, and the same thing happens again, where now it's a 5-on-4, and they go up 89-85, and we call timeout. But at that point, you're bringing Donovan and Rudy back in the game, and you, like, I would have thought, like, here we go, right? Like, all right, fine. We screwed around with this game to open up the third quarter. We didn't come out with any defensive bite early in the ball game. Now let's go. And they couldn't do it. They just couldn't get any defensive bite into that game. The Jazz, the Lakers finished like 115 defensive rating or offensive rating. And if you kind of walk through that period of time, Crowder hits a nice shot coming right out of that, and they get a miss, and then Ingles turns one over, and then Crowder misses a three, and then Rudy gets a silly technical, which was, again, kind of this, like, overall theme of maybe not being completely dialed in the way that we need to be. I mean, he put the ball right down in front of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's face after he got called for an offensive foul and on the ground instead of tossing the official. Just, it was unnecessary. So now it's, you know, 2-point game. They're up by three. We get a stop. Rudy actually misses a dunk. We get another stop. Like, this, we've done it, right? Like, you've come out of that. There's 10:25 left. We get 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive stops and still trail. Like, that's kind of, get three stops in a row. Get three in a row is an old Jazz mantra from the Jerry Sloan. Gordy Chiesa used to talk about it all the time. Donovan hits a free throw, and then Pope gets going. And then now you're on the wrong side of it. We split free throws. It happens. I'm not a big free throw misser guy. I think the discrepancy is usually pretty small. We never talk about the nights where you go 15 to 16. George Niang, who played a really good offensive game and kind of picked up on what the Jazz needed and brought them back to within two. I mean, it was just right there the whole time. And then we just never got it done. I mean, kind of a weird, wacky, crazy just lesson that these other guys might not be as big a names and they might be South Bay Lakers, but the fact is they're all free agents at the end of the season and they're trying to prove their value and what they're worth. And they came and played really, really hard last night and they outplayed the Jazz. There's just, and so in turn, the Jazz have lost really any viable chance for grabbing home court advantage. The other thing last night the Lakers did, they did some interesting things that kind of takes me back to some of our worst offense. If you look at our worst offensive games of the year, a lot of them, Houston's kind of our team, but our worst singular offensive games of the year are Houston, a Denver game, which was on a back end of a back-to-back on a long thing, so I kind of dismiss it. Indiana, which was on the fifth game of a road trip, okay. The Lakers, interestingly enough, earlier this year against the Lakers. There's a common aspect to it. Another one was terrible against Orlando in Mexico City, so I let it go. But then at Houston, we couldn't score. I'll get to what's going on here. There's a common thread. We didn't play well against offensively against Philadelphia at home after Christmas. We struggled offensively against Detroit, though we won that game. We had a bad offensive game, one of our worst against Houston. And so what is that that's going on there? Well, some of them are who we have personnel-wise. They're almost all without Ricky, and that's part of it. But frankly, pretty hard to play the injury card when they don't have LeBron, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Jason Hart, Kyle Kuzma. I mean, that's a pretty hard call to go play the injury call on that one. The other thing I would say is that there's two styles that can cause us some problems. We've talked about when the big drops, so that's Marc Gasol, gets underneath Rudy. Rudy's rolling and Rudy can't get to the basket. The other one that causes some problems is switching defenses. We sometimes struggle with switching defenses. And last night, the Lakers were doing a lot of switching. I have not had a chance to rewatch the game yet, but I did have a feeling that the Lakers were doing something a little differently than everyone else. And one of the things they did last night, now, frankly, last night's offensive rating by the end was a 36, so it was a 112. It wasn't one of our worst nights of the year. We defensively was our problem last night. But they were switching, but somehow cutting off the drive and the roll at the same time. So because they were switching, we often then don't set the pick, right? So you don't set the pick because it's no need to set the pick. They're just going to switch it, and they're interchangeable at that point. And so what we'll do is just drive and dive. Rudy and Donovan will drive, go to the basket, rolling and driving to the basket in the same manner that they would have if they'd set a pick, kind of spacing, and they just get to that spacing, and then they drive and dive to the floor, to the basket, and try to make a play. Last night, it felt as though the Lakers were bringing a third guy into the mix. I'm not entirely sure how they were doing it, frankly. It felt as though whenever Donovan drove to the basket, that they then cut off Donovan's drive, and the original guy still was on Rudy, so he wasn't available. We didn't get a lot of lobs last night to Rudy, and then we couldn't quite get the skip past the corner. We got a ton of corner threes last night. I think we ended up with 16 by the end of the night, which is usually the answer, right? We've talked about this 1,000 times, that if you are taking away the Rudy role, then you're bringing somebody from the weak side corner, and we should then be able to skip passes to the corner three. We got 16 corner threes last night. The Lakers took 32 mid-range shots last night. They made 63% of them, which is in the 97th percentile. I mean, they got a little bit unusually lucky last night, but again, hard to argue. The value of Ricky Rubio showed last night. Donovan, pick and roll last night, 48 pick and rolls, 0.78 points per pick and roll. And the other one on Donovan is just been brilliant on the catch and shoot three recently. I don't think he got a single one all night because he's got the ball in his hands. And so there's no way for him to get those same opportunities that he gets when he's playing with Ricky. Again, statements of facts, not in any way, shape, or form about to go do excuses here when you consider how shorthanded the Lakers were and, you know, we had stuff on the line. It's clear, right? You gotta avoid that loss a little bit. So anyway, then Denver went and screwed with the NBA playoffs, and we'll talk about that when we continue. Get the new Himalaya app and download Locked On Jazz. Plus, have you caught the Locked On MLB show? The reviews I'm getting incredible. Carl said I'm a baseball fan again. Another person emailed me, incredible storyteller. Become my favorite podcast. Locked On MLB, if you're a baseball fan, with Sully, has taken off and is doing big things. So please check it out, Locked On MLB. Denver last night did something really bizarre. They intentionally lost a game with a lot of risk. So what they did last night is they went into Portland and they decided before the game, pretty much, to not play Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Paul Millsap, who probably all needed rest. And then when they suddenly took the lead, their guys they were playing were, you know, Denver's incredibly deep and great all year. With 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, their guys suddenly took a Hermann Gomez and Mike Beasley and Plumlee went on a big run, and with 4:33 left, we're suddenly up 105-98. At which point, they kind of change who they've got on the floor and close the game with a different, with Isaiah Thomas. They bring in Trey Lyles. I think Plumlee might have fouled out on that one. I got to check and make sure. And to Portland's credit, Portland puts the ball in the hoop, does the job, gets things done. Dame hits a three. Minu makes a big play. Kanter hits some layups. Dame got fouled on three. And Portland wins it. The concept, Denver's not quite admitting to this, but the concept is that Denver is trying to push Houston to the fourth spot. This would happen if Oklahoma City beats Houston on Tuesday night and Oklahoma City wins on and Portland wins out, then Portland will slide, go to three, Denver will be at two, and Denver avoids having to play Houston, who they really struggle against. It's a weird concept for a team that at this some point in time has been as good as anyone in the league and has been, you know, somewhat of a discussion of, like, could they beat the Warriors, for them to be worrying this much. It doesn't seem very championship-esque, shall we say. What it has done, in a sense, to the Jazz, if in fact the Jazz would like to avoid Houston, which most teams I think would, Houston's been playing great, and Portland is playing really, really well, but with the Nurkic injury doesn't seem to be quite the same, but give them credit, they've been great, and Enes Kanter's solved their needs for them, and you know, we probably should not be dismissing Portland anyway, the way people have been. And if the Jazz play Portland, I think everybody will go and pick the Jazz, which will probably is silly considering that how well Portland's been playing and how, you know, they're 31-9 at home. They've won 50. They've been great. And Dame's incredible. And Terry Stotts is an amazing coach. And they've gotten better with Rodney Hood and Enes Kanter, and somehow have turned Evan Turner back into a productive player. They're really good, but and as I said, it's actually Cantor's been good for them. But if in fact you decide you really would rather play Portland, and frankly at this point Houston and Golden State could end up on the same end of the bracket, the wild thing for the Jazz is there's no value for the Jazz to win on Tuesday. If the Jazz win on Tuesday, the Jazz immediately cement their position into the fifth spot. I'm not sure they want to do that. I know it's weird. They might not want to do that. Instead, what the Jazz could do is they actually drop the game, or just, I don't know if you ever want to play not to win, which seemingly feels like what Denver did last night. But are you going to rush to, are you going to bring Derek Favors, Ricky Rubio, Howell Netter, Kyle Korver, etc. back? Maybe not. Maybe you let them get another day's rest. I don't know when, you know, how serious all these are and when there hasn't been any comment to that. So maybe some of them aren't even have a chance to come back. But wait and see. If Houston, here's the scenarios. If Portland were to lose to the Lakers and lose to Sacramento, and we were to win out, we could still get home court. Seems unlikely. Seems like we lost that chance last night. With that said, if Houston were to beat Oklahoma City on Tuesday night, we're in five, Portland's in four, it's set. However, if Oklahoma City were to beat Houston on Tuesday night, we might actually want to have lost earlier that night to Denver, so that when we go into Wednesday night, if Oklahoma City earlier in the evening has defeated Milwaukee, and again, Portland would have to beat the Lakers and beat Sacramento for this to happen, but Houston could slide to four, and we won't know, Portland will be playing simultaneously to us against Sacramento. We would know if they beat the Lakers the night before. Portland would slide to four, or excuse me, go to three. Houston could slide to four. We could then drop the game to the Clippers also to get to six, play Portland as the 3-6, playing Denver, or then I think it would be Denver or the Clippers in the 2-7 matchup. The Clippers need to have one more game left this year, and they need to win. I don't know who has the tiebreaker between the Clippers and San Antonio, but the Clippers right now, if they lose their final game of the year, are the eighth team playing the Warriors, and they want to avoid that. So if I'm reading this correctly, there is a weird situation here where it actually makes some sense, of all bizarre things, for the Jazz to, I don't know, it's disadvantageous for the Jazz to win on Tuesday, the way I'm reading things. That seems kind of crazy. But this league is crazy. That is Locked On Jazz. Have a wonderful day. Thanks very much to Iron Gate Global Advisors and Murdoch Chevys for sponsoring today's show. Locked On NBA on Mondays is always the biggest stories, local experts with Josh Lloyd. Go check it out. Have a great day.